Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the weekly broadcast of the Clay County Corner, coming to you live and in living color from here at the old Clay County Courthouse. We're in the old clerk's office, and it's a pleasure coming to you here each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. in the morning on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, broadcasting out to the world from the big tower out at Midway. And we really appreciate you folks tuning in with us here each Thursday morning. And also, we're really appreciative of the folks that make this possible, that being the Three-Star Committee, the Chamber of Commerce, and all the great folks that advertise on this program. And if you would like to be one of our advertisers, give a call up to the main headquarters and talk to the folks up there. Talk to Mr. Randy Kerr, and he'll work you out a deal where you can get a spot here and a spot on a lot of things on the various call numbers, call letters that they have up there. And with that, I know we got a great show lined up this morning. Miss Sandra Weeks came in this morning, and she's going to be talking a few minutes about some activities down at the community center. And I think Mayor Reagan is on his way. Hopefully, he'll be here in a few minutes. Hadn't had him on for a little while. Let him kind of outline some of the things coming up for the newly reelected mayor of Clay County. And we'll be doing that just in a few minutes. And we've also got a little bit of school information. We'll do that here in just a few seconds. But I think we'll just begin by going back to the main station and working in some commercials. And we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information, 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, it looked like they're fixed to come in and arrest us all. Looked like the sheriff strolled in, got handcuffs with him and everything. No, he hadn't got his handcuffs. But we'll welcome you, everyone, back. Got a couple little announcements. One I think is fairly important, and that is the Salina High School class of 1962 is celebrating a 60th class reunion over at Ms. Frances Donaldson's cabin this Saturday. We're going to begin about 1 o'clock. So I'd like any of my classmates or anybody knows any of the classmates from that, give them a shout-out and make sure that they know about this. And let's see, tomorrow night we got our first football game down in Jackson County, and I believe the volleyball girls' volleyball team has already started their season, and the golf team has started their season. I'm sure there's some other things that are going on down there, but school is in, and we've got a bunch of stuff going on. And also we'll have got some birthdays today, and we'll be talking about that about halfway through the show. But first, Miss Sandra Stewart Wicks.
Right. I've been a Wicks way longer than I was a Stewart. First, I just want to tell everyone about an event we've got coming up this Saturday night at the Clay County Fairgrounds in the Women's Building. We're going to have Justin Miller, and Justin has been performing as Elvis, impersonating Elvis, since he was 8 years old. So he is going to be coming Saturday night, starting at 6 o'clock, to the Women's Building to perform. I have heard him, and he is very good. I almost thought he was pantomiming. I didn't know it was actually his voice, but he is a very wonderful Elvis impersonator. So this is going to be a fundraiser for the Clay County Senior Center. The admission will be $5 per person, and we will have some concessions on hand. So we just hope everyone will come out Saturday night at 6 o'clock at the fairgrounds to see Justin Miller. He's an Elvis impersonator.
Okay. Now, what else you got over there now while we got you up here?
I know this is a little early, but this is the time I usually start working on it, is our Clay County Chili Cook-Off. This year is our 13th annual Clay County Chili Cook-Off, and it will be on October the 8th, 2022, here around the historic Courthouse Square. As always, the chili bows, the sampling bows, will be $5, and first place $500, second place $200, third place $100, people's choice $250, and best decorated booth $50. I already have those forms ready to roll if anyone wants to pick up one at the Clay County Senior Center anytime between 8 and 4, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Oh, righty. Can I have the Alka-Seltzer stand?
That will be fine if you need one. Some of the chili can get hot.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you.
You'll be getting back up here again for long.
Probably.
Yeah. All right.
They're doing something, too, that I'd like to throw in here for Sandra. It's Tuesdays, ain't it?
Tuesdays, yes.
They gather around about 1 o'clock, and a bunch of musicians and stuff gathers down there, and they've been doing that for what?
We've been doing that, I think, since May, I believe. Yeah, that we call it picking and grinning, and every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, sometimes it goes to 3:30, sometimes it goes to 4 when we get ready to close. But anyone that likes to just sit around and sing, pick the guitar, any instrument that you got that you like to play, we do have our piano at the center, is welcome to come and join in on all the fun.
And anyone that wants to bring their guitar or whatever, harmonica, anything they've got,
any musical
bring it on down and join in.
Yes. Any musical instrument they got that they want to sing and or just play. They don't have to sing if they just want to pick. That is fine.
Just a big jam session for
a jam session for senior citizens.
All right. Does you have to be a senior citizen to play?
Well, Not necessarily. Okay. If there's someone that just wants to come and, you know, pick with our senior citizens, right now everybody we have are senior citizens, but anyone is welcome.
All right. Okay. We got anything else?
That's all for me for now.
All right. Okay. Well, we've got a couple more guests here with us, except with the, well, I guess we've got two newly elected officials here this morning. We have Sheriff Brandon Boone is here, and, of course, County Mayor Dale Reagan is here with us. And I guess we'll start with Mayor Reagan. I know we just had a big county court meeting this week.
We did.
And you probably got a little bit of information about that.
Absolutely. And thank you, Thomas, again, for the opportunity to come up and speak to the citizens out there. And I might take this opportunity before we get started to thank everyone for their confidence in me and allowing me to serve as county mayor for the next 4 years, and I'm certainly humbled and honored to be granted that position and everything. We did have a county court meeting this past Monday night, and one of the big things on that was the budget, and the county commission passed our budget, our fiscal year 2022-2023 fiscal year, as well as they also passed the tax levy. And we just had three resolutions on it. We also had a resolution to appoint a new member to our E-911 board, and that was Ms. Carla Ridge. And they did that, as well as the notaries. They had about four notaries that they recognized and approved. And then, of course, we always have our motions to approve our county commission minutes from the previous meeting, as well as our planning minute and everything. And then trustee also turned over his quarterly report that he always has to do every quarter.
Okay, you want to talk a little bit about the budget?
I can. The budget this year, you know, they approved it as was presented to the commission by the budget committee, and so the budget pretty much has increased somewhat, nothing out of the ordinary that we wouldn't expect, and because of the way that everything went up, just about every department, especially if they had, I know, like the sheriff's department, saw the waste department and highway departments and all them and everything, and had to deal with fuel costs and stuff, that had increased quite a bit. I know me and Donna was talking about that yesterday, and it seemed like in the last couple of months, we pretty much deleted, I guess, close to the half, well, maybe not hardly half, but in them 2 months period of what the overall budget that they had, you know, had planned for in the previous year.
Right.
When you wind up toward the end of the fiscal year and everything. And so they factored that into the budget to increase that cost. Hopefully, you know, gas prices are somewhat seems to be on the decline just a little bit and everything. So hopefully that'll keep that trend going. And if at the end of this next, Lord willing, this next fiscal year, if they don't use all that, that just rolls back over.
Right, and I know we're hearing rumors now of the price dropping below the $3 level again. And
yeah, I was in Cookeville yesterday, and I think I seen over there, and I don't remember where it was at, but then a meeting over there, and as I come back through, there's a place over there that had $3.15. So hopefully that trend will keep coming on down, and it'll come our way here pretty soon and everything. So that'd be great. But they have to go ahead and as they do their budgets and everything, and they have to put that in there as a projection of what the cost they feel like it's going to possibly be in order for them to operate in the next fiscal year. And so the increased cost is always there, and especially with the elected officials' salaries that are mandated by the state. That's always in there, and also our ambulance service contract this year went up about $74,000 in addition to what it was. So that right off, you know, was taking quite a bit of a hit on it whenever we started to work on our budgets and stuff.
Let me throw this out there. You may really appreciate this. Is there a way that a citizen can come in down there and get a list of all of the county officials and what their salaries are?
Sure.
I, You know, because you know out in the community, we hear lots of people talking about how much they're getting paid and all this kind of thing, without ever bothering to go down and actually look and see. And
absolutely, and yeah, they can come anytime, or you know, any of the elected officials can even can approach them as well. But I mean, it's all public knowledge,
right?
And so I mean, you can. But you got to understand, and I know me and the sheriff had this conversation a lot with the county commission and everything, but there's nothing that we can do as far as that's regulated by the state, and it's mandated. And that's one of the things in government, especially in state government, passing it on down to the local level and everything, that I've never been a real big fan of is those unfunded mandates that they
right.
do. And it's real easy for, and I'm not saying anything about our legislators, because I think we've got good legislators and everything, but still yet, sometimes I think they need to stop and slow down just a little bit and look at some of that stuff, because sooner or later, it's going to get to a point to where that's got to be capped off somewhere or another
right.
to stop, because especially for rural areas such as ours and everything, it'll come to a point in time, if it keeps increasing like it is and everything, that you'll just have to start raising taxes just to pay your elected officials.
Okay, and for each one of our county offices down there, I suppose there is also a mandate on staff that they must have, and I'm sure there's a limit on the amount of money that goes to each one of the offices down there.
Well, that's pretty much the department head. You know, the elected official has that authority to, you know, they've got to equip their office to make sure
right.
it runs efficient. So it's left up to each a county official, you know. Now, the sheriff's department looks different because, I mean,
right.
he's regulated by that. He has to have, you know, a number of employees and stuff to make sure. And it's like my office, you know, I've got two employees in my office, Donna and Lisa. And I don't know what I'd do without them because,
right.
I mean, right now is one of the busiest parts of the times of the year. Going through the budget process and everything, because after the budget is passed by the county commission, Monday night they pass the budget and everything, we got 15 days from the time that budget's passed that Donna has to compile all that information from highway department, school department, solid waste department, all the other departments and stuff. She has to compile all that information together, get the cash flows and all that, and then send that down to the comptroller's office for them to look at it. And make sure that, okay, it looks like sufficient amount of funds are going to be there, that's going to be balanced, and it's going to be able to carry out this next fiscal year.
Okay, I know there's something a whole lot of folk don't really understand about the operation down there, and that is that every penny that comes in goes into a category, and every penny that goes out goes into a category. And each one of those are tracked for the entire fiscal year then.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I know the sheriff and myself, and the sheriff probably has been approached by this a lot more than I have been, but is the increase in the wheel tax that we had, you know, about the commissioners, you know, we increased it from $50, which made it $75 with the additional $25, which it had been for several years. That $25 that had been for several years is strictly going into the general fund for county business and operations and stuff. Now, the $50 is, they call it a special account. That used to be, we used to call it earmarked or whatever. They don't like for you to use that word anymore, reserve. And so they now it's put into, they call it a special account. So, and I know I've said this before, but it $28 of that $50 increase goes into the debt service. Debt service can only be used to pay debt.
Right.
It cannot be used for anything else unless there's a situation comes up, an emergency situation comes up, that we have to get the approval and the okay by the comptroller's office that we can go and do a anticipation revenue note against that debt service once a year. You can only do it once a year, and that's around budget time. That where if you have to have that money taken out to put over into another category for operational costs. We had to do that one time. Whenever, when I first come into office, probably about 07, 08 budget year, and we didn't have funding, we were at rock bottom. But our debt service was, was fairly healthy enough to where we were able to pull an anticipation revenue note, which was approved by the comptroller's office, that we pulled out, and I can't remember now. It seems to me like it was $400,000, something like that, to take out to put over into the general fund where we could make payroll and stuff and be able to operate. But that being said, we was obligated by the comptroller's office during that year to come up, and that's the reason they call it an anticipation revenue note. We had to anticipate another way that we could increase revenue to pay that debt back. So within that year, at the end of that fiscal year, we had to pay that debt, or the majority of that debt had to be paid back to debt service, and we were able to do that. That's when we had the 73 cents, if you remember, Thomas, the 73 cents property tax increase several years ago. We had to do that in order to take care of that and everything. So that's when you talk about counts and everything, yes, most of everything has a category that it goes into and everything, and it has to be justifiable. It has to be, and then everything goes through the trustee's office and accounts payable and all that, and everything has to be audited every year. As we speak, our auditors are down there right now going over the books and stuff. That they do that every year.
Right. And I know, you know, working with my window program here, I've had, you know, numerous people that have come in with a $25 donation. Well, you know, that $25 donation, it creates a whole big bunch of paperwork.
It does.
Because it has to go to a certain place and can only be spent for certain things from there. So, I mean, there's a catch-all for everything anymore.
There is. And it's a good thing. I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
You got a lot of different eyes to look at it.
Okay. What else you got over there that you would, coming down the pike here maybe in the next little bit?
Well, I think it's something that, you know, that me and the sheriff was talking about, you know, grants and stuff, and he been working on one for what, Sheriff? A year or so?
It's not hardly been a year, but it's pushing a year now. The time that we finally got the contract back this last week, and it's a confinement facilities grant through the Department of Health. Clay County was awarded $297,000, and it has to be spent specifically towards things that can benefit the jail. We are looking to purchase four transport vehicles, and then a transport van, a work crew truck, and all this will be new. And then we've got three HVAC units that we're going to be able to replace at the jail and the sheriff's office, and then some training equipment that will be required for some of our training. But, you know, the nice thing about this grant is 100% funded. It's zero match from the county, so that's a good deal for Clay County to receive that.
So it sounds like that's a good deal for the next few years when you're going to have to continue using the old jail. And I know that, you know, it's getting to be a problem of basically just being able to use it, and look like, you know, that's going to be a good thing for down there, that's going to take care of some immediate problems down there.
It is. It's just we're faced with some difficult challenges now with our jail and the age it is, and, you know, people ask the question, why do we need a 100-bed jail? Well, today we're constantly at a average population of 53 inmates. So, and we can increase that at any time, but we have to sort of watch our policing right now, just because of facilities are declining to accept our inmates, and, you know, the fire marshal's on us about making sure we keep our numbers below the capacity here in Clay County, which is 14. So,
yeah. So many of the counties around us are close to being, you know, in not the hardly as bad a condition as we are, but close to it. And they're getting to the point of where their local, population is taking care of any excess space they've got out there. And
it is. It's the jail population across the state. Of course, during COVID, it decreased because, you know, we're watching who you bring in and this and that, but the numbers has gradually increased since then, and most facilities are close to their capacity. You know, Macon County's under plans of building a new facility. Putnam County is building a new facility right now currently, so it's sad that we have to add on and build confinement facilities, but that's just the world we live in.
Well, you know, I don't know if you have any idea about this, but the average visit that you get down there from visitors, you know, how many days are your prisoners? I mean, do you have any idea? You know,
our records management system has the capability of doing that. I just don't know it off the top of my head, Thomas.
But what about long-term prisoners? We have
we've got probably five or six inmates right now that's got 10 years. To do. Most of them are being housed in other facilities. Another thing the average citizen doesn't realize a lot of times is the medical cost. I have an inmate currently right now that has cancer. And, you know, we're working through some challenges right now of we got to take him to Nashville for a treatment plan. He's not yet sentenced to TDOC, which at that point we can get him either in state's custody in Nashville somewhere, and the state will take over the expense and the charge. But some of these inmates you just can't turn loose, and the county is ultimately responsible for the medical.
Do you think some of these folks may be using that for their medical plan?
It could be. I tend to see people that come into custody that typically don't take care of themselves outside when they're on the street,
right.
As soon as they walk through the doors, they automatically demand you to take care of their medical needs.
Okay, and walking off the street, that throws up another subject for both the mayor and the sheriff, and that is the homeless population. With the new felony law here in Tennessee that came into effect, I guess, in July.
Yeah, we do have some homeless people here in Clay County. It's sort of hard to believe that we've got to that point, but we do have some people staying in some places, and there is some new legislation that's just passed. But, you know, I don't know how counties can really enforce that to the point where, for instance, Putnam County in Cookeville, there's roughly 1,000 homeless people. And I don't know how you incarcerate 1,000 people that's living on public land. I don't know that that's the answer of putting them in jail just because they're... I don't know what the answer is, but incarceration might not be it.
Apparently, not too many of the so-called experts really know either, do they? I
mean, no, it's sad, and some of that is drug-induced, and then some it's mental illness. We got a major mental illness problem here in Clay County, along with the state and national level, but we have to try to combat our mental illness we have to take a different approach about it, because we're locking people up in jail that has a mental illness, and technically they need to be in a facility somewhere just for that.
And, you know, you think a whole lot of this with the homeless folks is, the appearance. I know that with down in Davidson County, I mean, you know, of course they get all kinds of coverage and bad coverage of this, where they're doing this, you're doing that, and you're not doing this, and you're not doing that. But, you know, I guess when we've got the rural counties like this, that, you know, you, as a sheriff, you probably look around here and within a 6-month period of time, the way this county is spread out and all the woodlands and all those things, that you might look around one of these days and say, hey, there's 200 or 300 people here in Clay County now that we didn't even know about.
I feel like that people will start migrating from, obviously, your interstate counties is an attraction, just because that's the easiest way for people to get from point A to point B. But I think eventually they're going to start broadening out from the interstate counties out to the rural areas, such as Clay County. You know, we're seeing people in the housing projects and coming from the Cookeville area, just because they're, I guess, at capacity over there.
And I'm feared the piece of legislation you're referring to, Thomas, that took effect. I think that's gonna increase. I hope it don't, but that's gonna increase those that are going to, you know, go out into the rural areas and stuff and get away from the metropolitan areas and stuff.
Okay, we need to work in a commercial here for a few minutes. But before we do that, I can read off our birthdays for today. We have Mr. Silas Key celebrating his 9th birthday this past week. Miss Kathy Roden, out in the monastery, is celebrating the birthday. Miss Jane Brown, 90th birthday coming up. And Miss Linda Birdwell, and also a lifelong friend of mine, doesn't live in Clay County. He lives over in Glasgow, and that's Mr. Carl Reese Napier. I know he still has lots of family here in the county, and I think he maybe was a year older than me in high school, but lifelong friends with him. We'd like to wish him a happy birthday. I know we got folks over in Kentucky listening. And with that, we'll be choosing a name to win our birthday prize. That is, of course, sponsored by WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country here at the end of the program. And the winner would go over to the chamber and pick up an envelope that has a great birthday prize in it. And with that, let's take a little short break and work in a couple of commercials, and we'll be right back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring and kindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm sitting here with, of course, with Sheriff Brandon Boone and County Mayor Dale Reagan, and I know Sheriff Boone had been talking a little bit about a grant that they got, and Mayor, talk a little bit about the process of grants and things. Yeah. I know that one was a non-matching grant.
Right, and again, thank you, Thomas. And then most of the grants that we get is, like you said, some of them do have matching portions about them tied to it, but the biggest majority of them, if not all of them, is reimbursable grants, what we call reimbursable grants. In other words, I know the sheriff is he did a lot of legwork in order to get to be qualified to get this grant and everything. It's $297,000, I think, just shy of $300,000, which that's a blessing. But we got to have that money. We got to make sure in the budget Donna makes, she reaches out to all departments pretty much, that if y'all got any grants, I need to know about them and everything so that we can, and it, I know she's talked to you about that too, with
right.
your grant process and stuff, that when we do the budget, she has to put that money in the budget or has to put that line of revenue in that budget there for the revenue, even though there's going to be revenue coming in to cover that, we've got to have that in there in order to cover it. We have to pay it out and show them that we've done that, and then they will reimburse us back and everything. So that causes your budget to be, you know,
right.
inflated in a sense that it looks
and really we look at it as a waste of money, don't we?
Well, you got to have it
right.
in order to get it, I guess
right.
what you might say.
Yeah.
So, it's a good thing. I mean, it works out really well for us and everything, but it's not just that we're going to give you that money.
Up front, now you go use it.
No, you got to have money in there to cover it, and then once you spend it, you show us that you spend it for the right reason and everything, then we're going to send you money back. So.
Yeah, I know. I had to help do the paperwork on justification on the little
yeah.
grant that we had for our theater here. And I know it's not easy to do.
Yeah, and there is, you know, we hear, you know, people will say, well, these grants, why ain't we getting grants for this and grants for that and everything? And there is a lot of grant opportunities out there, but there's a lot that goes along with that grant opportunity, and it's just like, I know that we're in the process right now, that a young lady here that is, and I'm so thankful that they have took the initiative to, because child care is one of the things we definitely need
right.
here in the county, and they have are working on that and everything, and there is a lot of, there's some grant funding out there to help for that. But there's processes that has to go through in order to get to that point. And sometimes the state is really helped in a sense of downsizing some of that stuff. But when it comes to, you know, child care and stuff like such as that and everything, there's not a whole lot they can change because we want it to make sure it's going to be safe for the children and
right.
all that. And so there's a lot of legwork that has to be done when it comes to that.
Well, you know, and just, I guess now getting a physical plant up that would be acceptable for child care, with the day and time we're in now, with all the safety measures and precautionary things like that, you know, there has to be lots and lots of extra costs. You know, at one time, you could, you know, go out and have your building, have the correct bathroom facilities and lockable doors and things like that. But now, golly, I mean, there's just so much more
yeah.
that you have to be covered by anymore.
Myself and Dr. Young and Tanner Rich, he's our park director, and we had a meeting this past week, I think it was maybe Tuesday, with the Department of TDEC and the Division of Parks and Recs. And there's some grant funding out there that, especially since we're classified as a distressed county,
right.
that, you know, that we have the opportunity to apply for some grant funding. But before we can do that, we have to have a master plan in place. So we talked to them about that, and of course I've got to, you know, talk with the county commission and everything. And along with this master plan, it costs you like $40,000 to $50,000 to do a master plan.
Yeah.
But we can get some grant to cover
right.
that. But we've got to come up with some match part to do that and everything. So it's probably going to look at like it's going to cost us probably in the neighborhood around $6,000 to $9,000 to do that in order to get that. But we can use our American Rescue money, our ARPA money that we got to cover that cost. So we're working that out to where we can. And they pretty much told us, you know, that the guy, without saying it, he said it, that I can pretty much guarantee you if you get this master plan in place, then whatever you all put in will match. In other words, if we can put in $10,000, they'll match $10,000. We get $20,000. So, or if we're able to put in $40,000, we get $80,000. And so that's
that's a good thing, you know, to do that and everything. And he said, but we got to get this master plan. That, there's always a catch-all, you know. We've got to get a master plan in place.
You know, and something a lot of folks don't realize, too, I know that our little grants we get here, I think it's from the Arts Commission, it's called a rolling grant, that they set up a $5,000 non-matching grant each year. But a lot of folks don't understand that that $5,000 grant has got the same amount of paperwork to it as a $500,000 grant.
Yeah.
And, but let me ask you, do you have like an umbrella idea of how much interest you're paying on grants that, you know, when you put your budget together, you know, that we have this so much money that's going to have to be spent that way, or is it just added within the budget with each one of those categories?
It's just calculated in there and everything. I mean, you know, we have to that's the reason why that we ask each one of the department heads, you being one of those, that you're the curator over at the courthouse here and anything like that, we want to know up front, are you all applying for any grants?
Right.
And if you are, how much are they? You know, you may not get them. You can send an application. That's just not a chance you take. But if you do, that's why she wants to know, so that she puts that amount, just like Brandon's $297,000 had to go into the budget. But that is allocated in there and calculated that will be spent within this next fiscal year. Hopefully, it pushes over. If it does, then they have to make an adjustment. They have to go. The auditor has to come back, and they have to adjust that in order to roll it on over into the next fiscal year.
So I've got to tell Donna that we are applying for the rolling grant again in September for the Rolly Hole Marble Museum.
Exactly. And how much you're applying for?
With the $5,000.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
And we can work from there. Well, okay. Let's see what we got here. Let's do another little commercial here, and let's come back and let's talk about progress of our new jail facility.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
that just...
Welcome back, everyone. We're back here with the sheriff and the mayor, and I guess now we're going to tackle the elephant in the room. That is the new jail, the progress on it.
It's been an ongoing subject for several years.
Yes, it has. And oh, and one thing, if you notice, if you've been down to apply for your license this year, the only fee you've got is the wheel tax right now.
Yeah.
I believe, does that last through all of this year? Or?
I think so. I think this fiscal year. Yeah.
Speaking of the wheel tax, roughly about the jail, I just thought I'd hit on this, is to date, from the time the $50 additional wheel tax started, I just sort of go over the amount that's been collected. And like the mayor mentioned earlier, it is sort of a special account that it's set aside for the jail. Currently to date, for the operational side of the jail, there's been $385,536 collected. And then on the debt side of the jail, for the construction side, there's been $492,117 collected, which is about $877,000 collected total since the new $50 wheel tax started. It's roughly in 1 year time, it collects about $210,000. So that money is, you know, set aside for the jail project. And it's just, I know everybody keeps asking, it's not a quick process. We had some obstacles and hurdles to get through. The city sewer is doing an upgrade, and they got a grant to get that done. I think they're ahead of schedule on it. And the fire marshal we got a pre-approval letter about the plan. So it's moving along. It's just a very slow process, and it's not something that we want to jump into either and not make sure it's done right.
So we still haven't got a projected date when we'll be closing the first sale yet.
No, we've got to get it out to bid and see what the bid numbers come in at. Obviously, it's a little concerning for me, but hopefully it will come in, within the bid amount or budgeted amount. I'm somewhat concerned due to the price of things. The cost of everything has went up. But hopefully... late fall, early winter, October, November, I wouldn't think, no, maybe later in December, it should go out to bid at this point, unless something.
Yeah.
So we should know something here at the first of the year sometime.
And, hopefully, I know that's something that our prognosticators talk about, hopefully we've reached the apex of the inflation, and it's going to start coming down, which is great news when we're planning on building, because we know that building supplies, They have really been inflated over the past few years, and hopefully, that's going to come down. And of course, that'll help on the process.
And, like the sheriff said, it is concerning and everything. But like you said, hopefully that will be in our favor, that some of those costs will start declining, and then hopefully, if everything comes in or bids come back, we just hope we get enough bidders, contractors to bid on it. More contractors you get to bid on something, the better off you be and everything. So if we could, our budget is $7.5 million, and that's what we got a loan from USDA. Our interest rate on that is 3.5, and that's locked in right now, and that continues to be locked in, and hopefully they want to know, as long as we keep them up to date, in which they have, like the sheriff said, that we're going through the process of getting the fire marshal, and just got that word here just in the last few days that they have pre-approved the plans. They were something in the plans when they first got it that they wanted changed, so that had to go back, and they had to redo that and send it back. So we got the notice the other day that the fire marshal's office has pre-approved those plans. So the TCI now has got to approve those as well. And then once that goes through, then it all gets sent to USDA, which is our financial folks.
Right.
And to make sure that everything has been covered right. And once we get that, then we go into a process of
getting the bid documents put into place and everything, and getting the advertisement out there to see if we can get some contractors. And we mentioned the other day, or the sheriff did to me, that he was at one of his conventions that he has to go to, and that I know he mentioned Putnam County was in the process of, I guess, building on to their jail over there, and they came within their budget, so that was encouraging to us. Of course, their budget is a whole lot more than what ours is, but still, yes, you know, that's encouraging, and hopefully that contractor is right here close by. So a lot of times the contractors will look at that, you know, and say, hey, we've got a job going on less than, you know, 50 miles away from here. If we could get this other contract, you know, we could just use the same, a lot of times, just swapping people around and everything, and gives us a better opportunity maybe there, you know, that we get a better price on it and everything. So I don't know. We just have to wait. And Lord be our helper, this thing will come in like we have hoped that it will. And we can continue to go forward. And even if we do, you know, it's going to be next spring probably, in the, before construction would even get started anyway, if it comes in and within the budget, because you're right now hitting in the middle of winter.
Right.
And so weather has a lot to do with a lot of that, especially until they get it under roof. Now, once they get it under roof, you know, the weather don't have a lot to do with it. But excavating and getting the grounds ready and all that kind of stuff and everything, it's got to, the weather's got to cooperate with you.
So it's going to be a while yet before you get the golden shovel out and dig that post hole. isn't that the photo op that everybody uses where you get the big fancy shovel out to turn the first shovel of dirt?
Yeah, the hard hat and the shovel. But we're excited to hopefully get it going before long. You know, another concern of mine is obviously being able to staff it. You know, Thomas, I struggle daily of having the staff, and I would encourage anybody, if you know someone that wants to get into the line of work of corrections or law enforcement in general, apply. I'm constantly losing a deputy, turning a notice this week. I've got another that's applied for highway patrol. I'm short on correctional staff. So it's going to be challenging to staff a new facility. But, you know, I think we can somehow or another try to recruit some when that time comes.
Well, you know, I know with the county of our size and with our pay scale and that type of thing, you know, Brandon, it's nearly impossible to get a younger person in the enforcement part of law enforcement, and expect them to say someone comes in here that's in somewhere in their 20s and for them to plan on staying here in Clay County and making a career out of it in Clay County.
Yeah,
and that's just not going to happen.
It's not, and I've come to sort of expect that when new deputies get started, they're here for a short period of time. I mean, you do occasionally run across someone that wants to stay and be here in Clay County. Some of my guys work off duty in Nashville, making extra money. But you know, along with that comes liability and cost for them, and could potentially be an issue for the county. Even though they're not working for me at the time, and it causes me concern. But I have to allow them to work other jobs in order to keep them here, and that's unfortunate, but. You know, Clay County is only limited to the amount of revenue coming in, and we can't pay what some of these other counties are paying. And sometimes we don't have the benefits that some of the other counties have got.
Okay, now the workload of an officer here, the shifts, they how long they work, that type of thing. Brandon, talk a little bit about that.
It's 12-hour shifts. It's you work one weekend, you're off the other weekend. You'd work Monday, Tuesday of this week, you're off Wednesday, Thursday, and you work Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The next week, you're off the days that you work this week. So basically, you're working 6 months out of the year. They absolutely love the schedule. It's just that, you know, obviously the county surrounding us pay a little bit more, and the one I'm losing in a week and a half is going to Macon County. And like I said, I got one applying for THP, and we definitely can't compete with us at the state level.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I've always felt like our county, one of the big selling points is when you bring in someone like one of your deputies there and you lay this out in front of them, look, you have got 6 months of free time here in Clay County. And guess what? There are folks coming from all over the United States, and they're coming down here and spending $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 just to spend a week here, and you get to stay here 6 months. Multiply that times that number over there, and look at that benefits you got here just by being in this area. You know, one of the best vacation places in the world, and that's the selling point that we have. I think sometimes we don't use enough and emphasize enough.
It is. It's just, I think law enforcement in general and the society that we're in today, the criticism that we're under a lot of times by the decisions officers make from time to time, it's hard to talk someone into doing that when some of the decisions we have to make are difficult ones. You have to make them in a split second. And if you make the good decision or a right decision, everything's good. But you know, we're human. We make mistakes, and we make the wrong decision sometimes. And officers, once they make that wrong decision, they're crucified, and sometimes their career is over with it.
Right.
So it is a challenging career, but it has its rewards too. So,
you know, those split second decisions, you know, I mean, sometimes it is a matter of life and death. And,
absolutely.
And even when the officer is absolutely justified, it seems like there are loopholes that can be found that are going to wind up costing the county billions of dollars, not necessarily this county, but the counties or whoever's in charge of it,
yep.
Just based on the fact that nothing was done wrong, but still, you know, somebody thinks somebody else is responsible for it, and somebody needs to pay us for this. And, you know, that's kind of, it's nationwide.
It is.
It's not just here.
It's not just a local problem.
You know, and one of the things, you know, I guess, which poison do you want here? I know a lot of folks, and I know you hear this too, well, you haven't got any local deputies anymore.
I hear that all the time.
And so it's kind of, do you want to be arrested by a stranger or by your neighbor?
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing I tell people when I'm asked, you know, I don't know none of your deputies. I'm sorry. It's just the people that's applying are not local people. You know, it's... You know, I'd much rather have a Clay County person that's born and raised here, and nothing against the people that's working for me that's not from Clay County, but obviously they tend to know people, they know the county better, and
well, it's pretty stringent to go through that training.
It's 12 weeks.
And certified deputy and everything.
We're about to run out of time here. But yeah, you know, it's kind of like that. You know, I think our younger folks that want to go into law enforcement, like he said, they would come here and go through the process, staying here a few months, and then they're going to apply for a state trooper here or somewhere or another and to have a career away from here. And, of course, that's a disadvantage, but it is an advantage, he says, by we do get some folks that will come and stay a while. But I need a number between 1 and 4.
7. Oh, 1 and 4. I'm sorry. I was looking at an email, too.
I'll let the sheriff present. Well, this paper's laying right here by me, so I'm not going to do that. And he can't see it, so he can go ahead.
I'm sorry, Thomas. I'll take 2.
Number 2. That would be Miss Kathy Roten.
All right. Happy birthday,
now, you're
Kathy.
Not the first person that's done that. With that, we're getting ready to sign off here on WZFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And, you know, we've got everything put back nearly where it belongs. And we will say, you know, once again, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we're able to meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you back here next Thursday morning, 9 o'clock. Got the rebroadcast at 6 o'clock tonight, streamed on the Dale Hall Horizon site. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.